Right now, if you will, just open up your Bibles to 1 Peter, and I want to share with you what the Lord laid on my heart. I've been asking the Lord every week, Lord, what is it that you want me to share? As we, especially since the first part of November and the latter part of October, as the election was unfolding, and it seems to be still unfolding with all of the stuff that's gone on in 2020, I've just really asked the Lord to show me what it is that we need to just keep our finger on the pulse as to what's going on, what's he doing through all of this. And as you know, the first week that we spend here at Faith Assembly, the first full week we spend is a week of fasting and prayer. And so starting today, I just want to announce and encourage you to fast something, whatever that is. Many times people fast food, but a lot of times people fast television, they fast social media. There's a lot of different things that you can fast. The idea of fasting is this, is that you take whatever it is that you feel like and the Holy Spirit is speaking to you that you've put before the Lord. The things that you do in your life that just really takes priority. The things that maybe has got a hold of you that really God needs to have a hold of instead. And say, Lord, I'm going to set that aside for this week, and I'm going to instead devote that time that I would be spending on that activity, that meal, that whatever, and give it to you. In your word, studying your word, time of prayer, just devoting some time to get to know you better and to redirect my heart back to true north, to redirect my, to set aside my distractions, to repent of some things. And to embrace a fresh relationship with Jesus Christ. So this week, we're going to take an account of our walk with Christ. And I ask you this question as a rhetorical question, how is it going? How is your walk going with the Lord? And I want for 2021 to be a year, as with every year, that we vow to live a life that's holy and pleasing to the Lord in everything that we say, and in everything that we do, and in everything that we think. The Lord is coming back for a pure and spotless bride. Jesus is coming back for a holy church. And that's what I want us to talk about this morning. As I was praying about it this week, I said, Holy Spirit, what is it that we are to look at this morning in your word? And he directed me to a phrase that is not found in the Bible per se, but there's a lot of stories of people that live this way. And this phrase is living on the edge. Living on the edge. Are you living on the edge? Let's talk about that this morning. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 14 through 16 says this. As obedient children, that's us as believers, don't conform to the evil desires that you had when you lived in ignorance, when you lived not serving the Lord, before you accepted Christ in your life. Don't live that way, in the ignorance of that, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all that you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Now, for those of you who are viewing here today on Facebook Live, we welcome you. And I want to ask you to lay aside every distraction. I want to take about the next 20 minutes or so, and I want to share with you that are viewing and those of you that are here today in person a very important truth and a challenge to each one of you today. Now, if you were here last year, you remember that we spent several months during the summer and the fall. And I did a series on the book of Revelation. And if you were part of that, and as you were viewing it on Facebook Live, I went back and I actually discovered this a couple of months ago as I was just looking at back at some of the views and some of the interactions that we had. And I found it very interesting. And by the way, we covered a lot of territory in the book of Revelation. Revelation covers an awful lot of territory. We talked about the rapture. We talked about the Antichrist. We talked about judgments that were taking place. We talked about the new heaven and the new earth, etc. But the most viewed Sunday by far, like 4 to 5 times more than the normal views, I found to be very telling and found to be very interesting. And it was the concept, it was the question that I asked, can people be saved after the rapture and during the tribulation? That was the most viewed by 4 to 5 times more than what the normal views were. And what this tells me, by the way, this is a very troubling statistic that I'm sharing with you this morning, because what this is telling me is that too many people in the church today are interested in seeing how much compromise that they can get by with in their life, in their walk with the Lord. It tells me, they're asking this question to themselves, how close can I get to the edge between living a holy life? How close can I get to the edge between holiness and sin? How close to the edge can I get between holiness and sin? And how can I live a life that still be called a Christian? How close can I get to that line there? How much compromise can I allow in my life and still make it to heaven? And how much of the world can I let be part of my life on a daily basis, on a regular basis, and still know that all is well with my Heavenly Father? And just in case I miscalculate this, is there a chance that I can take the consolation prize and get to heaven after the rapture, just in case I figure this thing out wrong and I miss the rapture? That's what I feel like that people in the church are thinking based on this statistic that I just gave you. It's almost like people are saying, oops, I missed the rapture. Oh, well. I'll just take the mark of the beast and I won't take the mark of the beast and I'll be martyred for Jesus and I'll go to heaven that way. I just can't believe that that's the case. God help us if that's how the church is. Has it come to this? Are we so in love with the world that we struggle to let go of it completely and embrace Jesus with all of our hearts? Are we really okay with being tortured and killed after Jesus comes back and catches His church away so that we can feed and satisfy our flesh right now before He returns? Does the world and the things that it has to offer really have that much of a stronghold on our hearts? Is living on the edge, church, really worth it in the long run? You know, I've seen the results of sin in people's lives. I've lost count of how many times I've sat in my office face to face with folks who love Jesus but have fallen into devastating sin, resulting in massive and many times irreparable damage to marriage relationships, children, finances, health, jobs, reputation, and on it goes. You know, it seems we're more busy and enamored with pursuing sin than we are with pursuing Christ. God help us as a church. God help us as the bride of Christ. We put more effort into feeding the flesh than feeding the Spirit. And the results are as you would expect. But I'm here to say to you this morning that God will not bless your life and your choices that are opposed to Him and His Word. Folks, there is a price to pay. The Bible says you reap what you sow. You see, there's not only a price to pay for living on the edge on the other side of the rapture, but there's a price to pay on this side of it as well. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. Now, in so many ways, yes, and later for all of eternity. It's just not worth it. I can tell you that it's just not worth it. Again, the people that I've talked with over the years and have counseled with, and I see the repercussions, the fruit of their sin. And they're having to carry that load even now, the repercussions of it. It's much wiser to resist it, to turn from it before you fall into it, so that you don't have a life filled with regrets. But I see it happening all around us. I see it as Christians fall into it on a regular basis as they continue to live on the edge. Folks, there's an epidemic of compromise in the church today. There's a real epidemic in the body of Christ today. It's called compromise. It's much more lethal. It's much worse than the impact that this COVID-19 that our world is continuing to face. This epidemic called compromise is a cancer that has invaded the church subtly and slowly and surely with grave results. This compromise has diluted the church's ability to impact the world for Christ as it should. Preachers and parishioners alike, covering the spectrum of denominations, have fallen as a result of the compromise of sin in their lives. I'm sick and tired of reading articles and headlines of pastors and key Christian leaders in this country that have fallen into things that they know better not to fall into because they've lived on the edge. What's happened to holiness in the church? What's happened to holiness in the body of Christ? Pulpits have turned into giant counseling booths, and preachers have turned into these cheerleaders expressing how to live a happy life where a feel-good gospel is preached that excludes holiness. And the real good gospel is rarely preached and holiness is rarely mentioned. But Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14 says, without holiness, no one will see the Lord. How many wants to see the Lord this morning? Then live a holy life. Pursue holiness. Holiness is not only a diminishing quality in the church, but it's also being redefined to justify lifestyle choices. As the church embraces the comforts and the beliefs and the morals of this world, folks, the church is being influenced more and more by the evil of the world when the world should be influenced more and more by the holiness of the church. Amen. It's a sad day when people look at the people in the church, the way that they talk, the way that they dress, the things that they view on TV or the internet, the songs that they listen to, the products that they consume, the places that they frequent, the morals that they espouse, and they say, well, if that's being a Christian, then I guess I'm a Christian too. Our lives should be marked not with how close to the edge that we can live and justify our decision somehow and still feel good about being a Christian, but our lives should be marked about how far away from the edge that we live and how much we are a true representation of a holy Christ in all that we say, in all that we do, and in all that we think. Verses about holiness abound in Scripture, but they're not too popular in this day and age. Holiness sounds too restricting in this culture that we're in this generation. It's too old-fashioned. Holiness is not enlightened enough for our modern spiritual sensibilities. We sing about holiness in our choruses at church, but I often wonder if they're just words that come out of our mouths and they're not impacting our hearts. The church of today embraces more of a compartmentalization of holiness. A little of God on Sundays and a little of the rest of the world the rest of the week, with God sprinkled in here and there. But holiness, folks, holiness, church, holiness, bride of Christ, is not just a Sunday morning event. It's a daily lifestyle. It should never be relegated to just a Sunday morning service of an hour or so, but it should be a daily 24/7 walk with Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. It's a daily dying of ourselves and a yielding to the Holy Spirit with powerful results. You see, 2 Corinthians 7:1 puts it this way. Let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates the body and the spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. You see, this isn't just a one-time shot when we accept Jesus into our hearts. It's not like when we ask Jesus into our hearts and says, well, I'm holy. No, no, no. That's not how it works at all. It's a process. It's a daily purifying as His Holy Spirit sanctifies us. What does sanctify mean? It means it's a daily cleansing. Did you take a bath this morning? How many did? If you didn't, don't raise your hands because, you know, you probably, thank goodness we're spread apart, right? Some of us like have to. Did you take a bath this morning? Did you brush your teeth? Have you taken a bath this week? Do you take a bath on a normal basis? Why? Why do you do that? Because you'll stink if you don't. You brush your teeth, you gargle with mouthwash. Why? Because your breath stinks if you don't. You get that bath so that you smell good. You do that stuff to your breath so that it smells good. Physically, we do that, but spiritually, I often wonder how much time we dedicate to that. You see, that's what sanctification is. It's a cleansing. It's a daily cleansing. How do you get cleansed? In the Spirit. Spend time in His Word. Spend time in prayer. Spend time with the Holy Spirit. Spend time with your Savior. Get involved with Him. Get close to Him. Get intimate with Him. And He's bound to rub off on you. The more time you spend with Him, the more you'll be like Him. The more time you spend with the world, the more time you'll be like the world. The more you allow the world in, the more you're going to let the world out of you. The more you let Christ in, the more He's going to come out of you. It's saying, I love Jesus more than, and you fill in the blank. It's a sense of saying, Lord, I'm going to, out of reverence for You. That's what the Scripture said in 2 Corinthians. It's perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. What does that mean? It means that I respect You. I revere You. I honor You. More than anything else in my life, there's nothing more important than You. I revere You. You're number one. You are holy. You are righteous. You are pure. And because of that, I want to be like You. I reverence You. I respect You. I prioritize You. And out of that prioritization, out of that respect, out of that reverence, I'm perfecting holiness. I'm allowing You to do what You want to do in my life. That's what He's asking for. That's what He's hoping for, but we can't. He's not going to force it on us. He's not going to cram holiness down our throats. He's not going to say, you be like Me or else. It's got to be a heart posture. It's got to be a want to, not a have to. It's got to be something that I pursue with all of my heart and soul and strength. What have you pursued in 2020? What has been a priority to you in 2020? What is it that you place before God in 2020? Is it something that you're eating? Is it something that you're viewing online? Is it a relationship that you know it's not pleasing to Him? Is it a financial goal that you know doesn't include God at all? What is going on in your life that you're living on the edge and saying a little of this and a little of that, and I just hope I make it. I just hope that I grow in the Lord. I just hope that I'm effective for Him. I just hope, I hope, I hope. I don't want any muddy water in me. How about you? I don't want any gray areas in me. How about you? I want the Holy Spirit to shine a light on me. So bright, that light of holiness that just radiates in every little part of my life and say, all right, holiness of God, shine on the dark areas and make me more like You. And the words that I say and the things that I see and the places that I go and touch, my feet, my ears, my thoughts, my relationships, everything about me, expose it to the holiness of God and make me more like You, Jesus. Sanctify me from within. How about you? How about you? 2020 has been a year for the record books in so many ways, but all of that aside, that you hear on the news all the time, we can rehearse it, oh, this and all that, and the coronavirus and the elections and the racial disparities and all the things, all of that aside, how is your relationship with Jesus? How is your personal walk with Christ? What is it that you do? What is it that you say? What is it that you think when no one else is around? Are you living a life that's holy before the Lord? Would you be able to do in public what you do in private and not be ashamed by it? Would you be able to speak in public the way that you speak in private and not be ashamed or embarrassed? That's what holy lifestyles are all about. And the Holy Spirit can help us with that. And I'm not here to scold anybody. We're all in the same camp. We're all sinners saved by grace. But what areas of your life are you living on the edge? And how can you back up and say, wait a minute. Lord, I need You to just help me to step on back. That's what this week is all about. That's what this week of fasting and prayer is set aside to accomplish. We fast what we've placed before Jesus. Time, talent, treasure, energies, whatever we've spent on these things, we give to prayer, we give to worship, we give to God studying His Word. It's all about setting a pattern for this new year that is before us. And then staying as close to Jesus and staying at the foot of the cross every day this year in every area of our lives, reverencing Him, prioritizing Him, letting Him sanctify us above all things. What does that look like for you in 2021? I want to just leave with you this illustration to give you the idea of what we're talking about. There were two carriage drivers that were applying for the job of one wealthy man who had to take a treacherous trip through the mountains on a regular basis. One man said that he was the best. He could hold the horses within inches of the edge, and he had never had an accident. The other man said, "Sir, although I could come close to the edge, I find it safest to stay as far away as possible." To which the wealthy man replied, "You have the job." You see, the wealthy man in this illustration is Jesus. We carry Him with us everywhere we go. And the carriage is the gospel. The gospel message carries with it the hope for all of mankind. And we're responsible to steer it wisely and make sure it's treated carefully and not carelessly as we carry it through our lives. You see, I know God's grace is wide, and you hear a lot of preaching about God's grace. Grace, 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 grace. And I'm all about God's grace. And yes, God's grace is wide. But the Bible also says that God's way is narrow. And too many professing Christians in the church are living on the edge of the cliff of a compromised life, relying too much on God's grace to rescue them, and not worried much about the danger of plummeting to the rocks below. 1 John 2, verses 15 through 17. And I'm going to read this out of the Message this morning. It just gives it a little more of a conversational tone, but listen to this. Don't love the world's ways. Don't love the world's goods. The love of the world squeezes out any love for the Father. Practically everything that goes on in the world, wanting your own way, wanting everything for yourself, wanting to appear important, has nothing to do with the Father. It just isolates you from Him. The world and all of its wanting, 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 it's on the way out. But whoever does what God wants is set for eternity. I love the way that just expresses to my heart that all this stuff that the world has to offer is just rusting away, isn't it? It's just fading away. It's on its way out. But the things of God's kingdom, His holiness, His righteousness, His purity, the things of God are here for eternity. Those are the things that I want. How about you? Folks, you're never going to be satisfied with what the world has to offer. Never. The more you pursue those things, the more you'll distance yourself from God. The things of the world have nothing to do with God. It only provides this momentary rush that needs another fix almost immediately. Have you ever noticed how thrill seekers act when they perform stunts and engage in activities that are, from all appearances, dangerous and life-threatening? You ever seen them on TV? It just blows my mind, these people. They get this dopamine rush, these bungee jumpers, these skydivers, these rock climbers, anything that gets them on the edge of danger, on the thin ice, just before the bottom may drop out, that's what they pursue because they live for that dopamine rush. They feel invincible. They feel like nothing can harm them. They feel like failure happens to others, but not to them. They've taken the necessary precautions and they've weighed the consequences and they feel confident that they'll succeed. You see, there's something about living on the edge of sin that brings us that same feeling. But folks, I'm here to tell you today, if you're living on the edge in whatever area in your life, you are not invincible. There's a price to pay. You will reap what you sow. No matter what sort of precautions you think that you're taking, you will be found out. You will fall through the ice. You will reap consequences. We get a little closer. We sneak a little nearer to the edge. We walk out a little more onto the thin ice. And before we know it, we're neck deep in the chilling, killing waters of the icy lake of sin. But thank God for His mercy that rescues us. Amen? I'm so thankful that He's rescued me so many times. How many can say that? God has rescued me. Aren't you thankful for His rescue? Come on, let's give God praise for that. But why are we living such a foolish life when we say, well, God's just going to rescue me? Wouldn't it be easier? Wouldn't it be wiser to stay as far away from the edge as possible so that we don't get in those situations where we need to be pulled from the pit? God, rescue me again. God, rescue me again. How many times am I going to have to do it? Hey, how about let's stop circling this barn? How about let's stop repeating those same things over and over again that makes us fall in the pit and say, today, this year, once and for all, I repent and I pursue Christ and Christ alone. I'm pulling back from the edge. 2021 is the year that I'm pulling back. Because what I'm pursuing is not satisfying me. I need another hit. I need another hit. I need another hit. And it's never going to satisfy. No matter what it is that you're doing, it's time for us to take inventory. That's what I'd like for us to do today. Now, typically in a service like this, I would ask you all to come forward and gather together in tight places at the altar. But in light of all that's been going on this year, the altar is not necessarily a place in a building. It's actually in our hearts. And you can do this 24/7 wherever you are, behind the steering wheel of your car, as you're sitting in your living room, or here on a Sunday morning. It's still an act that takes place in your heart. So I'm going to ask you to do something this morning as you stand with me. I want you to bow your heads in prayer. And I want you to get to the altar of your heart right now. Lay aside every distraction. Everything that you brought into this place, everything that you're thinking about that you got to do when you leave, it's irrelevant. Everything that is a distraction would serve to steal away the opportunity that you have right now to take an inventory of your heart. So close your eyes. That takes away one of the distractions. And get to that altar of your heart. And let me ask you some questions that you ask yourself, in fact. Where are you living on the edge right now? You know exactly where it is. 1, 2, 3 areas, who knows? Where are you living on the edge this morning? Identify that. What has been compromised in your life? This epidemic of compromise, has it invaded your life? If so, where? What's going on in your life that you know, if you're honest with yourself, and you have to be honest with yourself this morning in order for this to be successful, where have you compromised in your life? A little bit of God and a little bit of the world. What part of your heart has been breached by the enemy? You see, breach means this. If you've shored up your defenses in your heart and you feel like you've had a pretty strong wall of protection around your heart, a breaching means that there's a weak spot. There's a place where the enemy has been able to get in. Where is it? And if you don't know, ask the Holy Spirit right now to identify that place that's been breached. He'll show it to you. Say, Holy Spirit, where in my heart has there been a breach that the enemy has come in? It's a simple prayer and the Holy Spirit will reveal it to you. It could be the same places that you're living on the edge or that you're compromised. What? Here's another question. What have you allowed in that needs to be kicked out? Take it by the scruff of its neck and grab the other part on the seat and throw that thing out of your life this morning. Here's the last question. Where have you leaned on God's grace time and time again to rescue you and instead not allowed God's holiness to once and for all take you over? Instead, let's begin 2021 right by giving Jesus our uncompromised heart. I want to pray over you this morning, and I challenge you, if you're viewing here this online or here in this building, today is a day of repentance. Today is a day of pulling back from the edge. Today is a day of an uncompromised heart. Father God, as I pray over this congregation, I include myself, all of us here today. Father, no more compromise in our lives. As we start this 2021 off as a fresh, new, shiny year, help us, Father, on this third day of the year, of this new year, to fix our hearts on you. Father, we repent of living on the edge in the areas of our life that you've revealed to us by your Spirit. Father, we repent of a compromised heart. We ask, Lord God, that you would shore up those areas that have been breached by the enemy. And we command in the name of Jesus those things that we've allowed in. We kick them out of our hearts right now in Jesus' name. We take authority over those things. And we, as we kick out the enemy, we seal up those breaches. And we ask, Lord Jesus, that where the enemy was, that you fill that space up with you, Lord God, your holiness, your purity, your righteousness. And then help us, Lord God, when those temptations come and knocking at our door again this year, that we would resist the enemy, because your word says that when we do that, the enemy must flee. Father, we thank you. Help us to cling to you today. Help us to not give the enemy residence in our hearts, not another foothold, not another toehold. Father, help us instead to pursue holiness. Help us to have an uncompromised heart in you, a daily sanctifying, purifying from you in our hearts. Lord, take away the love for things that, of the world, that are squeezing away our love for you, and instead feed my love for you instead. Feed my love, Lord Jesus, every day. Father, we repent of living on the edge. Show us what we need to do to stop consuming that product that is killing our livers or destroying our relationships or making us high or whatever. Lord, help us to stop viewing those things online that are eroding and corrupting our hearts, that are not pleasing to you. Help us to stop seeing those things on television, listening to those vile and hate-filled lyrics in those songs that are not feeding our spirits in a way that makes us more like you. Father, help us to repent of those relationships, those pursuits, those adulterous leanings that maybe we're even considering this year, where our wandering eyes are looking away from our spouse, or if we're not married, we're just looking to have a one-night stand. Father, purify us, I pray. And help us to live a life that's pleasing to you. Father, help us to take the resources that you've given us of our dollar bills and to sow them into the ground of missions and of local outreaches and of souls for your kingdom, instead of spending them on us and our selfish pursuits. Father, help us to not live on the edge, but to step back and to have plenty of room between us and that thin ice. Between us and that temptation, between us and that compromise. And then fill that space between us and that place where we're going to fall in with you, with warnings, with hurdles, with blocks, with roadblocks. Stop us, Lord God, and help us to stay far away from those things and to pursue you instead. Let our efforts be, let our resources be, let our lives be totally dedicated to you in 2021 to pursue holiness and righteousness and purity. That's our request. That's our cry. That's our prayer today. And we ask this, Jesus, in your name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Now, folks, I cannot live a holy life for you. No one's going to babysit you on this. Not one person in the flesh can do this, but the Holy Spirit can. And the Spirit of Christ is in you and will go with you. And as you go through your days, and as you have these opportunities come your way to compromise, I want to challenge you to invite the Holy Spirit into your life and to rely on His guidance for your life this year. And you're going to find incrementally, step by step, slowly but surely, you're going to become more like Christ in your thoughts, in your actions, in your goals, in your pursuits, in everything about you. And you're going to look back at the end of 2021 as we're coming up on December the 31st of this year and say, wait a minute, incrementally, I've seen some growth. I've seen some victories. It's not been perfect. I've messed up a few times, but I've done better because I've allowed the Lord to control my life, to take charge of my life, to let the Holy Spirit do what He wants to do. Oh, that's my prayer for you this year. I can't do it for you, but I plead with you to let the Holy Spirit have free and full reign of your life. Amen? Amen. I love you so much. But as much as I love you, Jesus loves you infinitely more. And He's here to help you through every challenge. Remember last week we talked about it. With every opportunity comes an obstacle. With every victory comes a challenge. And we're going to face those things in our personal lives. We got to know that. But as we go through them, and as the Lord helps us to be victorious, we're going to look back and say, ah, greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. I've succeeded. I've been victorious in Christ. Let's just not look back at 2021 at the end of this year and say, well, I've circled the barn a million times and I've not made one inch of progress in my walk with Christ. Don't let that happen. Come on, let's let those things go that have had us for so long, and let's pursue Christ in 2021. Amen? Amen. Amen.